Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Corey Curtis to the program from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I am amazing. How are you?
I'm good. Are you a big golfer? Did you watch any of the Masters yesterday?
I'm going to be honest. No, I am not.
Jeez.
And no, you did not?
I watched some.
I think I'm more of a golf watcher than Corey.
That's not saying much.
Golf lost me.
When did it lose you?
With the LIV Tour.
Okay. That makes sense.
So you just hate the entire sport now, huh? Why can't you just hate the LIV people?
Well, because the PGA Tour got in bed with them later. They just took their money.
That's true. It did happen. It's a mess. Got to get figured out.
You actually had some players stand up and do what was right, and then they just said, oh, well, you're going to give us money? Okay, well, we'll take that too.
Yep. It did happen. Money's a
fair point. Yeah.
The equalizer.
Yeah. I think you make a good point. Also, I think you should stop watching football.
That's true.
I'm going to go ahead and say that's not even close to the same thing.
Yeah,
what does the Lombardi Trophy look like and what does the LIV Trophy look like?
I couldn't tell you what the LIV Trophy looks like.
I have no clue.
It looks like the Trade Center towers after they got knocked down.
I didn't know that. Didn't know that.
Go ahead, pull it up. Pull it up on Google.
Okay, I'll Google that right now. Corey, the next
LIV Trophy. Just write LIV Trophy Trade Centers. It'll give you a side-by-side.
Okay. Well, I will do that right now. So the Nashville Predators in a playoff race, they get the win this past Saturday against Minnesota. They got San Jose tonight. They got Anaheim coming up on Thursday. And, Corey, they go with Justus Ahonen on Saturday in a got-to-have-it game against the Minnesota Wild. Andrew Brunette said after the game that they went with the hot hand. So I'm looking tonight like, well, he played well again. He played great against Anaheim last week. If you're Andrew Brunette, what do you do tonight in goal? Do you go with your franchise goalie in Juuse Saros, or do you keep the hot hand rolling and leave Justus Ahonen in net tonight against the San Jose Sharks? If Corey Curtis is in charge, what decision do you make in this game tonight?
Well, there is no decision. If it was my decision, he would have started in Los Angeles as well. Justus Ahonen is clearly playing better right now. I mean, I don't think there's any question about it. This is not a time for, well, this guy makes more money, or, hey, this is lost feelings. You got to win. And you know, goalies can be the great equalizer. And when a guy's the hot hand, the guy's the hot hand. And I was surprised he didn't start Los Angeles because Barry always had the rule that if you had a shutout, you played the next game. You played until you gave up a goal. Yep. And so he sat after the shutout, which was surprising to me. And, you know, I think everybody understands this isn't you condemning Juuse Saros and you saying, well, he's not our goalie anymore. It's you saying, hey, this guy's really playing well and we're winning with him in the net. And we're running out of time and we have to win these games. And so we're going with the hot hand right now. I don't think it's a hard decision. I think they're late to the party with the decision. And you roll out with the big juice tonight.
I agree with basically everything you just said, and yet I have, and maybe Robbie has talked me into this a little bit. I go back and forth on what he'll actually do. Do you think that he will do that? That he'll just go with Onanen?
I think after going with him on Saturday that he will. And I think if he doesn't, he's, well, I'm not going to say he's crazy, but I don't think it's a great decision.
Well, that part of it's interesting because, like, we were talking about this scenario. Let's play this out, Corey. Let's say that they stick with Onanen and they win these next two games, and it lines up where somehow they get in the playoffs here, whether that's L.A. falling apart, whether Anaheim loses in regulation to Minnesota and the Predators end up catching them. Let's say somehow they get their way in the playoffs. What do you do then? Yeah, I mean, you've just had three must-win games that your backup goalie in that scenario would have come in and won for you. Like, do you just turn around and go in Saros in game one? Like, what do you do at that point if you're the Predators?
It's a good question. To me, it is more difficult than this. I think you could go back to Saros, but you know the leash is short. I mean, you know the Preds have that when they won the Western Conference and played in the Cup. You know, Pekka stole the Chicago series. You know, he was unstoppable in that series, and it was tremendous. You know, all throughout the playoffs, but. You know, started to have a shorter hook in Pittsburgh to the point where people were asking who was going to start in some of those games because, you know, the Preds have given up a bunch of goals in a couple of those Cup final games. So, I mean, I think, you know, you can still have that question, but I think to start the series, you can go back to Saros. But, you know, if he gives up five goals in game one, which is possible against Colorado.
Yes, it is.
Then no one's going to question you going with Big Juice and seeing if you can, you know, recapture some of that magic that got you into the postseason.
Now you got me pissed off all over again about Laviolette not just saying, yeah, guys, Pacarina is going to start. He just wouldn't answer the question.
He would not do it.
Yeah.
No, he wouldn't.
God. Remember he also kicked out, like, they were doing, like, the documentary or whatever, and he was like,
oh, yeah.
No, get out of here.
Get the camera crew out.
I think poor Jerry Helper had to be like, guys, you have to. He was caught on camera like, sorry, guys. And then you could just hear Larry like, roar, just screaming in the background.
Yeah.
All right. So let's say, yeah, I just want to make sure we're clear then. Because this is where it does get interesting if you're thinking of a big picture, if you're Andrew Brunette, like the whole thing of like, okay, you're riding the hot hand, makes sense. You're trying to win a game that you just go each step. And then it keeps working out. So. Mm-hmm. And it keeps working out. Is there any question then that game one is Onanen?
Well, no, it's what we just said. I think you can go back.
I don't see how you can go. I don't see how you can incrementally ride the hot hand, win, and then be like, but now, never mind. See, I disagree with that.
Game one's not a must-win game, and you're kind of resetting. That would be what I'm saying. But again, I just think the leash is short. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, but that's fine. But if you can rationalize resetting there, you could rationalize tonight resetting and being like, and again, I wouldn't do it. But you can rationalize saying every game is its own thing, and who is our guy, right?
Yep. Well, you could also rationalize with this: we've beaten San Jose 15 times in a row.
That's true.
How many of those was Saros in net for? I'm gonna guess probably 14.
You could also say in six of those games, I could have played goal and you still would have won.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, look, they're averaging five goals a game in that 15-game win streak.
It really is amazing.
Yes. I mean, that is just a crap ton of goals. I mean – That's one of the darndest things I've ever seen. That's just crazy.
So, Corey, I'm going to give you an opportunity here to do, I think, one of your favorite things to do, and that is to address the people of Duval of Jacksonville. So, we've seen, you know, Travis Hunter last year, the Jags moved heaven and earth to go get him. They, you know, they make the huge trade, the huge splash. They give up future assets to go get him. With the idea that, you know, he's going to reinvent the wheel in the NFL, and he's going to play full-time cornerback, he's going to play on offense, he's going to be a big part of the receiving game, And now they've basically switched to, yeah, we just think he's going to play corner and he's going to be, we're going to let him focus on the defensive side of the ball. So what do you make of that after 1 year where he played seven games, them already kind of abandoning this Travis Hunter both sides of the ball experiment?
Well, first off, it's not Duval anymore. It's Orange.
That's true.
They're going to play.
They are going to play in Orlando.
They're going to play in Orange County now. So they're just orange.
Yeah, what are they going to do that year, Corey? Are they just going to, like, change up a chant? Like, do you still chant Duval when you're in Orlando?
Yeah.
Orange.
Orange. Look, it was a bad trade when they made it happen. It is a horrific trade now. I mean, horrific trade right now. The only way that saves this trade if he becomes Deion Sanders. I mean, because to give up, you know, how many picks do they give up? Was it just two ones?
I need to go back and look. It was at least that.
It was at least that. I mean, and the thought process was, well, we're getting two players. That was the excuse that was given. And so now he gets one injury, and you're like, yeah, it's a bad idea. We're just doing one. I mean, everybody told you this is not realistic. This is, you know, the sustainability of this is not realistic. And, you know, so you give it a shot, and you're like, yeah, it wasn't realistic. And, you know, the other thought of it was, you know, he's dynamic, and he creates buzz for our franchise, and he's fun to watch for our fans. And, well, and now he's not even scoring touchdowns. Now, ideally, like half the time with Deion, you barely saw him play because nobody threw the ball at him. And so, you know, ideally, you know, he has two interceptions a year because nobody throws the ball at him. It's just, you know, look, he could still wind up being a great player. I don't think anybody questioned that. But, you know, it's just the whole notion that he was going to play 50 plays a game, you know, was a little bit absurd. Have they said how many offensive plays they're going to try to use him a game?
I think they're just saying, like, he's just
focusing on corner.
And I'm with you. And I have thought, I mean, I don't know, you know, Deion, you know, that's – but, I mean, I've believed watching him in college that he could be that level of corner. But that still wouldn't – so, to me, that validates taking him very high in the last draft, but it does not validate what they did.
Yeah, I don't I know he won all the trophies. I think part of winning all the trophies was playing both sides of the ball.
Yes.
Because I don't know anybody calling him Deion coming out of the draft. You know, I don't. I know there were some people who wondered if he was the best at wide receiver or the best corner coming out of the draft.
My whole thing was he looks like he could be a decent receiver in the NFL and a great cornerback. But so at least they seem to have watched him on the field enough to be like, okay, yeah, he probably should play corner. But yeah, he better be unbelievable.
Which would justify it taking him at two or
exactly.
three or four, but not. Giving up
the world.
Multiple first-round picks.
So when will they pay for it? When will they pay for it?
That's Jackson.
And also, have you seen Trevor Lawrence's haircut?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Have you seen the haircut for Trevor Lawrence?
Did he cut it off?
Oh, it's gone.
I didn't know until today. Rebecca put it on the text line. I looked at it, and he looks like the lead singer of Depeche Mode. It doesn't work.
Well, you know, one of the nice things about playing the Jaguars is enjoying the silence.
Oh, look at you.
Hey,
will
the crowd be better or worse in Orlando? What do you think?
You know, I will say, you know, there's no reason to expect the Jaguars to be good again because the years, you know, when they're good, it's usually for like 1 year and then it just kind of goes away.
It's true.
But the nice thing for them is, like, when the third quarter comes around, they can just go to Universal or Disney.
That's true. It's right down the road. I love just giving Corey the opportunity to take shots at Duval. There's got to be, like, some people in Duval that just absolutely hate Corey.
They
Curse.
Need to know more. Yeah, we need to send more things to them. We need to send some
clips.
Now
that they're playing in Orlando, they could put Mickey ears on the helmets.
Hey.
Yeah. Okay.
Probably sell some
aerodynamic.
Merchandise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get Mickey out there in a Jags jersey?
Why do you never rip the Colts or Texans like this?
Duval.
Look, when the Texans were letting the team minister make all the decisions, we ripped them. All right?
Easterby?
When we have ripped the Colts for, you know, the Anthony Richardson stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The crazy thing with the Colts is if they had quarterback play, you know, it wouldn't have been 12 years since they were relevant in the division. But here we are. We sit. It's 12 years. They are still treated like the NFL, like they are royalty and like they are a contender every year. And it's been 12 years since they won the worst division in football. For 20 years, this has been the worst division in football. There's no question about it. And for 12 years straight, they have not been able to somehow sneak up and win this thing. Even the Jaguars have won it, and you have not been able to win it.
All right, we got them going.
They've won it twice, I think. Yeah.
It's like a wind-up doll.
Yeah, look at Corey. Good job. It's good stuff.
It's great. When you can talk trash about other teams in this division, in this city, boy.
Oh, yeah. Well, but even the Titans have won it. They were in position to win it 3 years in a row.
Yeah,
they were. The offensive coordinator drove like 180 on I-65.
That is true.
What a fun morning that was.
Corey, thank you so much for taking time to be with us. We will talk to you soon, my friend.
I just have one thing to say.
Okay.
Orange.
Yes. I can't wait to see what becomes of that. That's going to be great. Corey Curtis brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic with us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll react to what Corey had to say. We'll take your thoughts on the Predators, Eustace Onanen in goal on Saturday. Should they go back with him tonight? More on that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Outdoor patios, landscaping design, lawn maintenance, and more. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. What a great song.
Great song. Great reference by Corey Curtis. This is Depeche Mode's best album by far, Violator, for those who don't know.
That Trevor Lawrence haircut is something, man. I mean, far be it for me to talk about anybody's hair because, I mean, come on. Baldy over here. But
that's your choice, man. That's your choice. You could have hair.
Yeah.
You could have some hair.
I could have some hair. That is true. It was when I saw the picture of Trevor Lawrence, I was stunned. I was like, who is that? That's not Trevor Lawrence. Turns out it is.
It a little bit like a character in what's the Ben Stiller movie? Help me out.
Well, Zoolander.
Thank you.
Okay.
Kind of looks like
he could be. There's a lot of Ben Stiller movies. But.
What's that one Ben Stiller movie? Yeah.
Which one?
Yes, Zoolander. He looks like he could be in Zoolander.
Hansel or whatever. He's so hot right now.
Oh, man. So if you haven't seen it, go Google Trevor Lawrence haircut. You'll be stunned. Let's head back to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland to the program. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
It's a good haircut, man. His hair looked wild before. You don't realize it until he gets a good haircut. He needed a good haircut. He's representing the whole town. Even if it is a terrible town, you're representing the whole town.
He's about to represent Orlando, too. Yeah. I mean, multiple towns in Florida are coming up.
Full counties.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Hey, I got a thing, man, on this the goalie situation. So we, through the years, I've seen other teams do it, but the Preds don't do it, where they will sit their starters if they're not playing well. Like, their starting goalie will just – they'll always – because the camera always cuts to them. They're like, got to show Pecorine sitting on the bench or, you know, whoever it is on that team. But we don't do that for some reason. And so Onanen is clearly the better player right now. I don't know why. What's the hesitation? Unless it's like blind loyalty, in which case everybody needs to be fired. If you're that blind and we're trying to get in the playoffs, the only thing that matters is the playoffs. Why wouldn't you play Onanen? He just shut out good teams. So I don't understand why you wouldn't. I had a bad feeling heading into Minnesota, and he put us on his back. So why wouldn't you play that guy?
Yeah, it's a good question. Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it.
We don't know there's hesitation. Well, we're just speculating on everything. I mean, Brunette may have told everybody, Onanen, get the rest of the year.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, and you know, the first part of that, like, you know, objectively looking at this, the Predators for basically all of their franchise have had good goaltending. Like, whether it was Vokoun or, you know, obviously a long run with Pekka Rinne. I mean, heck, even, you know, Dan Ellis is pretty good for a couple years. But I got a long run with Pekka. Saros has been a good goalie. Now, Saros the last couple of years, there's obviously been a lot of discussion about him and the contract and all those things. But, you know, the Predators have had good goaltending basically since the moment they stepped in the league as a franchise, right? And some of it, they got lucky. Like, you know, Saros was a fourth-round pick. And I don't think they expected Thomas Vokoun to turn out to be what he was when, you know, they came in as an expansion team, but he ended up being a really good goalie for a long time. So, you know, there's a little bit of luck. I mean, Pecorine was drafted in a round that doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
So there's some luck that's gone into all of it. But I also think that that's a testament to, you know, Mitch Korn and Ben Vanderklok and the goaltending coaches that they have. So all that plays into it. But I'm, you know, Brunette, if you're looking at it, last week, Onanen had unquestionably, the best goaltending performance of the year. He was unbelievable against Anaheim. And now he's followed that up with a really good game against Minnesota. And again, he didn't have to do much in the first two periods the other night against Minnesota. He had to make some key saves in the third, and he did. So you've got two games in a row where it just you watch him play, and you can like you can see it. We've all watched enough hockey to realize when a goalie's in the zone, right? Like we've seen Saros be in the zone plenty of times, and it's you know what that looks like and feels like when you're watching it. We've seen Pekka be in the zone, and right now Onanen's in the zone. Now, how long is that going to last? I have no idea because, look, sometimes with backup goalies in the league, Joe, this happens where they go on a little bit of a run.
And then reality,
and then it comes
the pumpkin
crashing down at some point.
Oh, they all turn into pumpkins
right.
at some point.
So that could happen today. I have no idea. But it's almost to the point, Joe, where don't you kind of have to let that happen before you make that decision? If you're like, that's how good Onanen's been of late.
Yeah.
He has played himself into, even last week before they made the decision to start him against Minnesota, we had a conversation about it on Friday of like, what do you do if you're Andrew Brunette? Like, he's played well enough where if you had that conversation before the year, it would have been laughable. And it turned into a legitimate discussion point last week. And he went with Onanen Saturday. And I'll admit, it was a little surprising watching him trot out there for warmups on Saturday. I was like, wow, it's a must-win game. And they're going with Eustace Onanen when it's not a back-to-back.
Right. And so you've already done the whoa move. And you've already explained it very simply, which is like he's the hot hand. Sports is whatever high percentage mental. And when people are in a groove, in a zone, whatever you want to call it, I think you're wise to lean in on that if you have access to that. And so I think it's simple. I think it's simple, and you're right. I mean, at some point, there's going to be a, oh, yeah, he's a backup goalie for a reason moment. But I don't think that because right now, and you mentioned this earlier, and it's another part of the mental side of sports. If you do go with Saros, like Saros understands that at that point, it's probably not a completely popular decision, right? And so he may feel a certain type of way right now about all this stuff. But the bottom line is he also sees his partner here kicking butt, and he's got to understand that, like, this happens sometimes. People ride the hot hand. So if you switch to Saros, as you said earlier, you also, in a way, sort of increase the pressure on everyone, kind of, and certainly on Saros. There's already plenty of pressure.
Yeah. 615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot of your thoughts to get to on this. Keep them coming on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What should the Predators do tonight? Should it be Eustace Onanen? Should it be UC Saros back in net tonight for the Preds? More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. I got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to Team Boxing League as the Nashville Smash take on Phoenix Fury at Municipal Auditorium this Friday night. Caller 3, 615-737-1025. We'll win some tickets. You could wear them too if you want to. To the Team Boxing League match coming up this Friday night at Municipal Auditorium.
Tape them to your forehead or something like that.
Absolutely.
That's what Trevor Lawrence should do. Get some tickets and cover up that awful haircut. Poor Trevor.
We do have people on the YouTube chat, on the text line, are like, yeah, just Google the Trevor Lawrence haircut. Wow, that was stunning. It's like, yep, sure is. You grow accustomed to seeing Trevor Lawrence in a certain hairstyle for a while, and then when he completely removes it, it's like, whoa. A little shocking.
It's just, yeah. And maybe it's just like the picture with the shades, too. I mean, it really is like he is an 80s new wave artist, which, yeah, I love that music. So, you know, little English beat or something, you know? Someone on the text line also is side by side of him and one of the Easter Island statues.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So, also, someone asked him about the Liv trophy. I looked at it. It's a weird trophy. I guess I get how people can make that comparison.
I'm going down the there's articles about this.
Yeah.
Going down the rabbit hole.
So, I assume it was asked at some point. Did they ever address it?
I don't know. I'm just going down. I'm halfway through one article right now. I got some more research.
Kind of messed up.
Justin from Greenbrier says, baseball players go into slumps. I can only think that goalies are no different. Play big juice until he falls off the ledge. Saros has been streaky since he's been on the team. He will bounce back. I mean, the streaky part of it is interesting. I think the scenario we threw out there to Corey early is a really interesting one. Let's say they go with Onanen tonight, and he wins again. Well, Joe, you'd be hard-pressed to tell me, like, if you went with Onanen Saturday and they win, and you go with Onanen tonight and they win, well, if they're still alive on Thursday for the playoffs, you got to go with him again, don't you? So let's say they win and they get in. Are you just going back to Saros for game one?
That's the thing. That's what Corey is trying to make that case, and I'm like, I mean, if he – is this good? If he's great in those wins, no, you can't, right?
That's what I'm saying.
You like, can't. But okay. Well, meanwhile, we're talking about huge wins. We're talking about getting in the postseason, and we're talking about again. People get hot at in sports, and again, the mental is more important than the physical, and I think the more that he would perform like that, the more you keep going until it falls off the cliff, and the more it's difficult to even go with the other guy and to justify it. And for, again, all the dynamics, there's also all the guys in the locker room. They all love Saros. Anytime he's great, they love it. They rally around him. If he's not great, they make excuses for him. But if those guys are watching these two guys playing, it's like, this guy's playing way better right now. Why would you not give us the best chance? At some point, they notice too. I think they probably have by now. And they probably, some of them, raised an eyebrow when he made that decision. But it's like, hey, good for Bruno.
Yeah.
Make a decision just based on the information in the moment, and let's go win a game.
Well, again, and it's not like Saros is playing bad right now.
Right.
But Onanen is playing better.
It is a little odd that Onanen is playing so well without really having a whole lot of extra playing time.
Yeah.
Usually you see these kind of backup goalies get on a run. If, you know, Saros were to have gotten hurt and he missed 2 weeks, he missed, what, one or two games maybe after a little bit of that upper body tweak that he hurt in practice. Onanen made one or extra two starts there. And
played really well.
And he's played well.
Yeah.
And he's continued to kind of go with it. Usually you see the backup take over. After an injury, he's kind of gained momentum, and then you kind of struggle whether to go back. This is strange in that that hasn't really happened. He's just kind of, maybe he's figured some stuff out as the year's gone on, as he's matured, as the coaching kind of situation is, I don't know, unfolded. So I don't know. That part of it is a little bit different to me.
Yeah.
No, that's bottom line is, he has this game, this one game that's, again, according to Vingan, Sport Logic, like, it's the best goals, saves above expected game in the history of the website. What, going back how, like, 20 years?
It was 16-17 season.
Oh, okay, going back 10 years.
Yeah.
But still.
That's pretty good.
That kind of means something, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, those numbers, obviously these teams have their own rating systems, analytics, all that stuff. But they go through that stuff, and it's like, okay, this is like extraordinary high-level play.
Well, and I
ride it until it stops.
I think the words that you've brought up a few times that Brunette used at the press conference on Saturday mean something. Like you say, we went with a hot hand. Well, I mean, that kind of tells me you went with a hot hand. It's not like the hand cooled off. Like, right. It's still hot going into this game
tonight.
The
hand stayed hot.
So I am,
you going to dunk it in ice?
I said it earlier in the show. I am very interested to see, walking in the door this morning at Bridgestone Arena, what the morning skate looks like and who's in net and what that's going to look like. Or I do wonder, like, do the Predators try to get, we see teams do this time of year, and get a little coy about it today of, like, we're going to basically hide the starting goalie from the media and we're going to go through some random drill at morning skate.
Don't do it, Bruno. Don't do it.
It's like, who's starting? I have no idea. Game time decision. Okay. cool.
I have a feeling that might happen, actually.
You know who's starting tonight?
Yeah.
All right.
By the way, on the YouTube chat, Ultra says, I know Joe hates Brady, but that's what started his career, staying with the young guy. Well, I'm not the only one to bring up the Brady comparison now, so thank you.
Yeah, if you missed it earlier in the show, Joe Rexroad is compared to Eustace Onanen to Tom Brady. So a lot of pressure for Onanen all of a sudden.
And Drew Bledsoe is a pretty good quarterback, by the way.
Got to win some cups.
I'm just saying, yeah, many cups are on the way. I think we have a question of the day. We've already picked it for Chase and Big Joe, which is, what does Trevor Lawrence's haircut look like? I've got a Trevor looks like Jim McMahon from Nevada. Josh, not bad, but this is my favorite. Trevor Lawrence looks like Steve the Pirate at the end of Dodgeball. He actually totally does.
Arr! Yar.
He just stops talking like a pirate. Holy crap, that's amazing. Well done.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. All right, final thoughts on this. The Preds and the Sharks tonight. We'll go over the scenarios for the playoffs for the Predators. Take more of your thoughts on Onanen and Saros. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game, broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. The Preds taking on the Sharks tonight. So, Joe, here's basically what it boils down to. The Predators need to win both of these games coming up, which I think they are well aware of. You have L.A. right in front of them in the wild card race at 87 points. They have one game in hand on the Predators, which means of the 6 points left that are available for L.A., if they get to all of them, they get all those points, it's 93, and the Predators can't catch them. The max for the Preds is 90 in this race. So you need L.A. to lose once in regulation and to drop a point somewhere else on the L.A. front. Anaheim is dead even with you in games play. They're at 90 points. So it is possible for L.A., if Anaheim loses the next two here, to pass Anaheim in the standings, and they would actually be third in the Pacific. Anaheim would drop down to the wild card race at that point. And if you're the Predators, you play Anaheim Thursday. So you really, and honestly, kind of looking at it, what's more likely, and I'm just throwing this question out there. L.A.'s got Seattle, Vancouver, and Calgary, which are three teams that are all on the road. But frankly, they should beat all of those teams. So we'll see. It's the NHL. Crazy things happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, they should win all of those games given the situation that they're in. You need them to drop 3 points along the way. If you end up tied with L.A., you're winning the tiebreaker. You will get in. On the Anaheim front, if you end up tied with Anaheim, you will get in. So that means if Anaheim loses in regulation to Minnesota tomorrow, and you win today against the Sharks, you will have basically a winner get in game against Anaheim coming up on Thursday. So we spent all this time talking about LA, and that's still an option. But the more likely you're out may be Anaheim when you really look at it, because they're at 90 points. The Predators can get to 90 points, and the Predators would win the tiebreaker because they have more regulation wins than Anaheim does. So basically, it's a long way of me saying you're pulling for the Kraken, the Canucks, the Flames this week. You're also rooting like mad for John Hines and the Minnesota Wild tomorrow. The unfortunate part is Minnesota has already locked up their seed. They're the third seed in the Central. They're going on the road, and they're taking Dallas in the first round. So we saw Minnesota sit some guys on Saturday. I would guess that they're going to sit more guys tomorrow. What does that mean? Who are they sitting? Are they going to sit Quinn Hughes? Are they going to sit Kirill Kaprizov? Like, I don't know how John Hines is going to approach that. I've seen coaches approach it different ways. Like, sometimes you don't want to sit guys too long heading into the playoffs. So I don't know how John Hines is going to handle that. But you're hoping that Minnesota can find a way to win a game in regulation tomorrow if you're a Predators fan.
But if you're John Hines and you have a chance to screw over the Nashville Predators, what are the rules on bringing the entire Iowa Wild up? Yeah. That's their AHL affiliate.
That is.
They play at Casey Center in Des Moines, Iowa, by
the way. That's good to
know. Yes, you're
welcome. They play against the Milwaukee Admirals.
The mighty, mighty
Admirals.
Big
playoff matchup, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So, if John Hines. You know what? Yeah, I get that whole thing about resting guys and continuity and all that. But, you know, I think that we don't want to mess with stuff. I don't think we want to risk any injury to any of our key guys. We'll see. That'll be interesting.
It probably makes it more likely that they are going to rest some guys, given the fact that they just did.
Let's see. They did recall some people today. So they have Minnesota. They've completed their four post-deadline regular recalls until Iowa's season is over.
Okay.
So they did make a couple of more
calls. Iowa Wild. Yeah. Get that Iowa Wild out in there. Why can't the Milwaukee be the Milwaukee Predators?
I don't know. Good question.
It's probably not the best city to have a name Predators in.
They clinched the playoffs again, by the way. So your dream of doing a live remote broadcast from Milwaukee in the playoffs still lives on.
Let's do it. Let's do it. I was just up there in Chicago. I'm not done with the bratwurst and the Italian beef sandwiches. Hey, Matthew from Jolton brings up a good point on the Brady-Bledsoe comparison. If I'm not mistaken, Bledsoe did sign a massive contract a couple years before he got hurt and Brady took over, just saying.
Rob,
there's something to it.
That says Joe's not far off with that comparison between Onan and Brady. They do both play professional sports in North America, or at least they did.
So there you go.
There you go. That's all it takes.
There is a comparison to be made.
That's all it takes this time of year. All right, are you ready for my official prediction on who starts in goal tonight for the Nashville
Predators? Yeah, and before you give it, earlier you gave a prediction that it would be Saros.
Yeah, I'm sticking with it.
Sticking with it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which could be very interesting. Well, like what? We've played out all these scenarios. What if they start Saros tonight and he just gets lit up? Like Celebrini goes out there and scores like four goals.
Fun show tomorrow.
It'd be a fun show tomorrow. I'm sure it would be. Good grief.
You know, I'm gonna make a different prediction. Okay.
Let me make it clear. I'm totally guessing, by the way. I have no idea.
Yeah. I mean, I think when Andrew Brunette, again, when he frames it the way he did, like, you have to know, and I know sometimes, you have a game, you have a press conference, you get asked questions, but you could have – I mean, you don't have to lie to just frame things a little bit differently after that, right? Like, hey, you know, it's a tough decision. He's been playing really well. You want to make sure everybody's rested. You know, you could have done that. He just simply said playing the hot hand. And I think if you say that after that last game, to me, you are telling us that you're going to continue to ride the hot hand. You rode the hot hand. It worked. Why would you change? So I'm going to predict that he keeps riding the hot hand.
Everything you're saying makes total sense.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I don't feel great about that prediction either. I think it's a really fascinating, like, almost 50-50 kind of proposition here. Yeah. It's really interesting. But, I mean, you know, you're Brunette, and the bottom line is you don't know your future. You do know that you appreciate the guys in the room for what they've done and how all of you have moved forward from when the trading deadline. You know, it's like, okay, this is just not happening. And you want to give them the best chance. And as much as everybody loves Saros, like, the guys in that room have to right now be like, look, Anand's just playing. He's on a heater.
Yeah.
Just like anybody in a lineup in any sport. Like, if someone's on a heater, why would you not go with that?
Is there criticism that follows if they go with Anand and tonight's the night where it all comes crashing down?
I mean, some people are going to bitch about everything.
Sure.
If there's a loss, right? So, yes. But I think right now, if you talk about first guessing, before we know what's going to happen, I think that 80% plus of this fan base would first guess and would say play Onanen. So, sure. Like, in fact, I don't think I've seen anybody today say, no, you got to go with Saros. Other than, like, well, the big picture. Yeah. But like, I have not seen that. I think all the reaction today, including from some very level-headed Preds fans who we interact with on a regular basis, are go with Onanen.
Well, the bottom line is this: they need to win tonight. You gotta find a way to win a game tonight. There is a scenario where they can be eliminated tonight. So they play San Jose. If you lose to San Jose in regulation, the LA Kings are playing Seattle tonight. So if you lose tonight in regulation, and you've got LA. I guess I'm thinking about that. I guess there's not a scenario where they could be actually eliminated. There's a scenario where they can't catch LA anymore because they would only have one game left. But no, you can be eliminated. If you lose tonight, you can't catch Anaheim. So, yeah, they could be eliminated tonight.
You can't catch Anaheim.
If you lose tonight in regulation and LA wins, you're eliminated.
Yep.
So, first things first, win the game, and then at least you know you're going to be alive heading into tomorrow, and we'll kind of see how all that goes. But if you can win tonight, in regulation, you're feeling good about things, and then you're pulling like mad for Seattle and Vancouver and Anaheim taking on Minnesota tomorrow night.
Quick comment. First one, starting Saros, a logical decision. Anaheim gets to Anaheim, and Saros has been on a heater against San Jose. So we do have
– there we go.
We do have someone who that's one out of many.
There we go. That's going to do it for us today. Hope everybody has a wonderful rest of the day. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow to break it all down. Next Man Up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.